This is episode 9 of season 3, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Fran Whitlock from Global Eco Village Network.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
You may have seen these really cool posts on social media of people moving off grid or into tiny homes or converting vans and living on the road. Especially in our era of COVID, people are starting to think about how can they live a little bit differently. This idea of living in a cramped city apartment is not really having the same appeal to people anymore. It's still kind of daunting though to think about moving completely off grid and living on your own, especially if you've never built a house before or you don't want to live in an isolated way. And this is where eco-villages kind of come in. So I hadn't heard of eco-villages until Fran had reached out, but I was really interested in speaking to her about how she came to be living in a small community in northern Spain. Especially as someone who's worked in climate policy living in London, to move to an off-grid community is not really a small change, and it's one that Fran felt would help her live more in line with her values. I hope you'll enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Eco Villages. There are communities everywhere in the world. Let's get trash talking.
Hey, Fran. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name's Fran Whitlock, and I work for Gen Europe, which is the European chapter of the Global Eco Village Network. So I get to spend my time telling people about Eco Village and community living. And I also live and work on a small off-grid farm project in Spain.
Cool. Okay, you have to tell us what an Eco Village is.
Well, all Eco Villages are very different, but in general, they're places where a group of people come together to create community based around kind of a holistic view of sustainability. So it's not just about ecological sustainability, you know, having clean energy and growing your food, but also social, how you make decisions in a way that includes everyone, or cultural, so like learning from local wisdom and local people, and also economic sustainability. So how do you use money in a way that's sustainable and ethical in the long term?
Huh.
And I think there are occasionally sort of maybe bad or strange associations with the word eco-village, but really, you know, having lived in eco-villages, I know that they're usually just groups of really incredibly committed people who are sort of committed to lifelong learning about what it means to live well together.
Okay, that's super interesting. Okay, and you've mentioned that you're in the European branch, so I'm guessing this is global.
Yes, absolutely. There's sort of branches of the Global Eco Village Network on every continent, except Antarctica so far. Many kind of national networks in different countries as well.
Tell us more about how you got into this.
So I'm from London, and I was working in climate change activism and campaigning in NGOs. And while that was something that I really believed in and was really passionate about, I started to feel more and more like that I wanted to be living a life that felt more in tune with my values and in tune with what I was working towards. So eventually I quit my job and I found myself kind of doing volunteering in different agricultural projects. And one of them was a community. And it really sort of opened my eyes to a different way of living and seeing how people were living and working together in a sustainable way. And that, like, something clicked for me. And I thought, okay, this is how I want to be living. And I feel like this is something that everyone should be able to do if they want to. So I started researching more and discovered the Global Eco Village Network. And having by then lived and worked in several different communities around the world, I was lucky enough to actually get a job with the network, which is based in an eco-village in northern Spain.
I think, like, people are probably wondering, and you've mentioned that, like, eco-village has its own, like, connotations when people hear it, I'm sure. Well, what is it like? Like, obviously, like, we're on a phone call and, you know, you're not cut off from everything outside of, like, these villages, but, like, what's it actually like to live in one?
All eco-villages are different and each has its own kind of focus and perspective. But a lot of the ones that I've lived and experienced are actually very outward looking, and they really try and engage not only with the wider local community around them, but also globally, very connected to different kinds of global networks. And while there's definite aspects of, you know, the community living. So, you know, you eat lunch together with maybe 30 other people and you take it in turns to cook and clean. And you might spend some time doing communal work in the garden or building or doing whatever needs to be done. People are also very connected to the outside world. For example, I living in an eco-village in Spain, but also, you know, still having Skype calls with friends and family, still going out and traveling for work meetings to see people. So I think while people might have this idea of it being a sort of totally cut off from the rest of reality, I think it's actually that far from it, really. It's I find eco-villages to be very engaged and connected places, even though they might be quite physically remote, often very rural, they're still real places of connection.
Super interesting.
And there's loads of ways people can kind of test the waters, because obviously you're not going to just sort of drop everything and join an eco-village, probably. There are lots of eco-villages and communities that run open days, so you can just come and spend a day, see what it's like, or they do short-term volunteering periods, even for young people in Europe, at least, and I imagine in the US there might be, or North America, there might be something similar. There's actually funded volunteering, where young people can actually get funded to spend 6 months or a year in a community living and learning what it's like. So we in the Global Eco-Village Network, we have a map on our website that shows where all these communities are, and people can contact them and see if there's an open day or a volunteering period, or even just a virtual tour on their website, just to get a feel of what it might be like.
Well, I imagine that, like, for someone like me, where, like, I've done communal living, you know, it is very interesting. I think there's pros and cons, and I think there's some people who shy away from the idea of it because they might be a little bit more introverted, or, like, they like to have a little bit more of their own, like, space and, like, free time to themselves. And I'm curious how that's managed.
That's a great question. And that's one that we get a lot, actually, especially since the beginning of the pandemic. We've been doing more online events and just kind of question and answer sessions and webinars. Mm-hmm. And it kind of surprised me that that was a question that kept coming up. People were really kind of saying, you know, I'm an introvert or I like my space. Can I have that if I want to live in an eco-village? Again, there are some communities that are more doing everything together than others. But for example, in the eco-village where I was living for 2.5 years, everyone had their own small living space for themselves. And that was your space. You know, you had a door, you can close the door, you could be by yourself or just with some other friends if you wanted to. There was communal lunch every day. You could go to if you wanted to, but you didn't have to. And there was some expectations about joining the communal work days, but there was also real respect of people's boundaries. And I think one of the things that living in community really teaches you is about clear communication. And you really have to know, okay, this is what I need. I'm an introvert. I need time to myself. And I'm going to share that with the people I live with and tell them that. That way people know and people respect it. So you have to learn to be quite, I think, strong in your boundaries. Communities use a lot of different tools to help people with that. You don't have to be with other people 24/7.
Right.
A lot of people think that's what it's like. And fortunately, it's not like that.
Yeah. I guess, why is the environment even important to you, though? Like, what kind of drove you to want to work in the green space? Because you started doing climate work quite early.
Yeah, it's true. I guess in my family, like, I would say my parents taught me sort of values of caring for other people, caring for the world around me. And I think it was when I started to realize that caring for the environment, you know, it wasn't just being nice to other people. You know, that's one way of caring for the world and people around you. But when I started to connect the dots, and I think it was actually as I was a teenager, I was maybe 14 or something, when An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore documentary came out. And that really hit me, that it was like, this is about everything and everyone. You know, my life in London, I'm fine. But this is global, you know, the environment and climate, this is important and it means something to everyone. You know, there are people who are going to be affected that, you know never know and I'll never see. But I think that was a real moment for me.
What's one of the, like, most inspiring moments that you've had since you've, like, moved off grid?
I think there are two things. There's one maybe, like, a more personal for me, and then one kind of more related with the wider network of eco-villages. I think for me, it was when last year I built from start to finish with my own hands, only with locally sourced materials, my own pizza and bread oven. And just seeing that and having done that, and they're like, well, you know, I can do this. And you can, you know, building and creating things that you need and you want you can do it yourself, you can do it naturally, you can do it in an ecologically friendly way, and it feels so good. That was really exhilarating. And just, you know, there are so many examples like that. And I think on a wider level, so with the Global Ecovillage Network in Europe, we do an annual gathering every year where people come to an ecovillage from all over the world to kind of hear about ecovillage living, get a taste for it, do different workshops, things like that. Obviously, we couldn't do it this year because of COVID, and we were really disappointed. But we kind of rallied and we put together an online event in quite a short space of time. And for me, it was just incredible to see what a response it got and how many people came. And, you know, it was people who'd never heard of ecovillages or been to an ecovillage before. But they, during the pandemic, this idea of community and sustainable and ecological living has really started to call to people in a way that maybe it hasn't in recent years until now. So just seeing people's response and people's excitement and their reactions to this event and how many people registered was really eye-opening and exciting for me, because I thought, you know what, we're in a really tough time globally and many people are suffering. But it's also helping people, a lot of people open their eyes to what other ways of living there might be that help them be more resilient for the next time something like this happens.
That's a great point. And so it sounds like there's like quite a lot of ways that people can kind of like explore and like hear a little bit more to see if this is for them. You mentioned like the consumption part of like what makes living in an eco-village so much better than even living in the city. Because like I think some people tend to think of like living in a city is like quite low impact compared to especially living in a house, you know, giant house out in the suburbs. But it is still quite impactful. And I think you hit on why. And a lot of that is just like the necessities of like having to have these individual items in your household. But like what other aspects help in terms of like environmental impact to like live in a community?
So I think what makes community living different is maybe not so much what you do, though of course that is important. So maybe you know, you're growing food together or you're sharing, you know, big appliances or that kind of thing, but it's how and who you do things with, because it multiplies your impact rather than just being one person doing something alone in an isolated, you know, bubble in a city. You're really harnessing the power of a group of people to do things. So, and I think that's what is kind of inspiring about eco-villages. You don't have to live in an eco-village to think like an eco-villager. You can look at how communities share resources, how they share tasks and, you know, journeys, carpooling, transport resources, how they connect networks of mutual support or exchange of products, so without using money. And these are all things that people can implement in their neighborhood, in their town, and people do it. So I guess my advice would be to kind of think like an eco-villager, feel where your community is, where you can create networks, especially about ethical consumption. Because, you know, one of the things in an eco-village is that you can, you know, you can start a food cooperative and buy in bulk. So not everyone is taking their car and going shopping every day, for example, which they would be doing if they all lived in their separate houses. So I think the key is sort of the strength of the group. I think that can actually really help push things in a more sustainable direction.
I was going to ask you what's your one tip for someone who wants to live a more eco-conscious lifestyle, but I think you've given it to us.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's think like an eco-villager and find your community, because we can all take individual actions, but when you work with others and kind of meet across divides and help each other out, that's where real change happens.
Yeah, it's more fun that way anyways.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, Brant, thanks so much for sharing your time and like sharing your story. It was really cool to hear about.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so we're not saying that you should go and run off and join an eco-village, but it does sound like something that I would personally love to do. So we're about 3/4 of the way through season 3, and we wanted to give you an update on our campaign to donate to My Climate. As of this week, we've hit $160 from the community to be contributed to a carbon offset program. If you want to help to boost your impact, share this show with someone you think would enjoy it, and check out our sponsors, Plain Products. Every listen and purchase means more funds that would go towards reducing your carbon footprint. Our donation for this year is enough to offset an individual living in North America. So let's keep it going. Tune in again next week. Stay green, Rebels.
Season 3 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors is sponsored by Plain Products. Plain Products is a zero-waste personal care company that uses refillable aluminum bottles. Their shampoos, soaps, and oils are toxin-free and vegan, so they're good for you and good for the planet. Visit the link in the show notes or go to plainproducts.com. That's P-L-A-I-N-E products.com and use promo code TRASHY20 to get 20% off your first order of zero-waste shampoos, conditioners, and hand sanitizer.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.